May 12th. And those of you who have been here most times will notice that this is the second time and I'm in a different place. This is still my house, but we have a big truck outside that's has people digging in the ground. So there's a lot of construction noise right next to the room I'm usually in. So I'm in a different room and it came up quite late. So I'm a little bit late too. But I'm really happy to see you all. And I have, as usual, been reading with great interest. Thank you, by the way, for so many of you sent your thoughts this time, your thoughts about what your resources are and your thoughts about what your stressors or what your pain, what your fears and difficulties are at the moment. And reflecting on that, I've been thinking about how clear it is that our resources, and I think that goes all the way through, at least it's definitely most of us, we resource with people that we're close to, we resource with our own animals, we resource with nature. Those are the three big resource places. And then we resource with activities, processes like meditation and yoga and running. So doing things with the body. Those are the main resource areas that we get in these messages from you and that I recognize from people in general. And then if we look at where are our stressors, then partly it's worry about those people and living entities that we love. So we worry about old people, we worry about our own loved ones, we worry about nature, we worry about the world, which usually means nature, climate. So that's where our worry goes. And then where's our distrust? Well, a lot of it this time and in the last couple of meditations has been worry about the way that people are behaving as we start to open in this corona crisis. And some of us worry more about are people actually caring enough about social distancing and hand washing and the need to stay vigilant. And others are really worried about what are our politicians and our governments doing? How are they adding restrictions and adding control and adding ways to check up on our lives so that they know what we're doing and when we're doing it? So there are these two major fears. And I was reflecting on it partly because it's clear that there's fear in that, and there's distrust in that. So we feel fear, we feel distrust. We also feel some anger and outrage about it. So these are the feelings that we are busy with. So on the one hand, there's the ones that we feel, parts of the world that we feel very, very connected to that is precious to us. And then there's this other part of the world, which is mainly the human mind, if you look at it, human mind, human social structures that we feel very distrustful and uncomfortable with. And it made me think of two things. One is that a little known fact about a hormone. So there's a hormone that psychotherapists have been hearing about for a number of years now. It's called oxytocin, and it's been popularized as the bonding hormone or the love hormone. And for a while, researchers just couldn't say enough beautiful things about it, how it makes us want to touch each other, and it increases empathy, and it makes us feel close, and it opens our hearts, and all of that is true. And then the research continued, and we discovered that that's all true, but it only holds for those things that we consider in-group. Now, in-group is a term for everything that we feel close to. So Our in-group is people that we love. Our in-group is people that we feel bonded to. Our in-group is an organization that we feel we belong to, places that we feel we belong. When we feel that we belong in nature, nature becomes part of our in-group. So we care about it. We want to protect it, and our hearts open. And it has a dark side. And the dark side is that anything that's not in-group is more easily out-group. So whatever is out-group, that's the other effect of oxytocin, of this hormone, whatever is out-group becomes something that we are more suspicious of, more hostile towards, that we are more critical of, that we're more frightened of. So the boundary between us and them becomes sharper. And that happens to all of us. It's part of our biology. It's also part of the biology of our cats and dogs. It's part of the biology of chimpanzees. It's part of the biology of horses. So that was one of the things that struck me, how we can't help that we are our emotional biology will, particularly when we're in uncertain times, and these are definitely uncertain times for the present and for the future, when we are in uncertain times, we will tighten our in-group sense, and we will also tend to then tighten, strengthen our boundaries towards out-group, towards that which seems other. And all animals also consider the primary out-groups that they're looking to. If they're zebras, the primary out-groups that they're looking to are not actually lions or hyenas. The primary out-group that they're looking to is other zebras. So we all have this tendency to look at our own species, for us as human beings, and see the enemies there. And it's difficult. It's a difficult thing to develop through. And I think the only thing that can help with it is really to start to find, and that's also the suggestion in spiritual traditions in both the East and the West, both in Christianity and in Islam, and also in Buddhism, which I know better, is to start to recognize in ourselves the things that we see in others. And most of us who have worked with psychotherapy, of course, know that it's called projection. And we also know that we're really good at projecting onto others who are good objects for projection. So it's not like you're giving them something that doesn't exist in them. It's just that we're giving them something that also exists in us. And it's hard for us to see it in ourselves, in our in-group. It's easier for us to see it in our out-group and the other. And the trick is, if we want to keep expanding our hearts, which is part of our theme here, is to become bigger than the fear, to become bigger than our outrage, to become bigger than our anger, to become bigger than our hurt, to become bigger than the uncertainty. And the only way to do that is to keep somehow developing our capacity to open so that our in-group includes more and more. I think for body psychotherapists, which is a tribe I know well, having been one my whole adult life, one of the hardest things to embrace is the cognitive mind. And in many spiritual practices, this is unfortunately supported, because it's like, well, you have to still the mind, you have to control the mind, you have to stop the mind doing all these things it does. But it also means that we start to split ourselves, that part of ourselves is the enemy. And we need that part. We need that part to be able to recognize our enemy is also ourself. And that ourself is not an enemy. Does that make sense to you? Or was that too cryptic? If, please nod if it makes sense. And keep nodding, I'm scrolling through here. Got page 2 and nodding, page 3, most people are nodding. Page 4, yes, nodding, thank you. Thank you very much. So there's a split off out group in ourselves, and for many of us it's part of our mind. And then there's the split off other, the out group of whatever it is, whether it's politicians or whether it's the media or whether it's the government or whether it's other people or whether it's our neighbors. It doesn't matter. And it's the only response that we can have to it if we want to actually be part of the solution. As long as we do that, we're like everybody else. Everybody else is doing this too. Everybody else has the same oxytocin pattern. Everybody else likes the in-group and wants to push away the out-group. So if we want to be a part of the solution in that, then we have to do something completely different, which is to somehow manage to see the similarities, see that the politicians are frightened, and when we are frightened, we want to go to control. That the media are suspicious, that's part of their job description, and sometimes those suspicions go and express themselves in strange ways. Which of us doesn't recognize that happening in our own lives sometimes? Getting angry, wanting more control, feeling suspicious and uncertain, wanting more control and wanting to check things out, digging where digging is not the best solution. So finding our similarities is essential to not accept everything that's gone, but to make a considered decision for ourselves in each moment instead of withdrawing from it, instead of pulling away. And that's hard work. And because of it's such hard work, we really need our resources. And I've established this habit of finding a quote for you on these mornings. I don't know if I'm always going to do it, but I have done it today, certainly. And it relates to this, of course. It's a quote I actually heard in a spiritual community, my husband's spiritual community, 21 years ago now. It took me forever to find the right quote on the internet so that I could give the reference. But here it is. It's called Deepening My Awareness. And it's actually from a notebook in a magazine. And this person, Sai Safransky, he says, deepening my awareness is a challenge. It isn't a challenge because my parents didn't love me enough. It's a challenge because it's a challenge. I don't need to take it personally. I've spent years excavating my past, sorting and cataloging the wreckage. But who I really am, the essential truth of my being, can't be grasped by the mind, no matter how acute my insights. I've confused introspection with awareness, but they're not the same. Becoming the world's leading expert on myself has nothing to do with being fully present. But being fully present, we're out of Sai Safransky and back to Marianne now. Being fully present does have something to do with continuing to include in our awareness the recognition, the heart recognition, the sense of knowing inside myself this thing that I see the other doing and that I don't like. Many of you recognized last time the power of listening from our breath. In our traditions, we listen from the heart. Last time we included the sense of listening from the breath, listening to those that we distrust from our breath. Not because we're supposed to trust them, but because we recognize where they're coming from. Because where they're coming from is human, and we are human. And in doing that, we accept some pain. I think that pain is part of what we're shielding ourselves from. If we actually open to the people that we distrust, that we dislike, we start to feel the pain, both our own pain of not just shutting down and pushing something away. So there's that pain, the pain of the dissonance, but we also feel the pain that is their pain, that they're coming from. And that's where we need our breath, our capacity to listen from the breath, our capacity to listen from the heart. So those were the, that was the thinking that your many, many wonderful statements generated this morning. And I'd like to thank you again for those, because you went from 4 or 5, I think, to 27 this week. It was wonderful, really rich. And it's time to start meditating. So take the time to settle into your body and stretch. See if there are any particular areas this morning that are asking for a stretch. For instance, my fingers are mentioning that they haven't been stretched enough since yesterday. They're not happy with that. And maybe you can find some yawns. Taking the time to actually feel into your stretch. Most of us tend to go a little bit too fast. So, you can experiment with your own speed. See what feels most absolutely deliciously right when you stretch. What's the real pace of this stretch right now? Because it's going to be a different one for the next time you stretch, which is in a few seconds. But for this stretch, what's the exact right pace? And how does your breathing like that? What happens in your breath? And notice how your breathing changes. Make space for any yawns or any sighs. And since you're all muted, you can yawn and sigh as much as you want, or you can even shout if there's a loud noise in there. That's fine too. Mm-hmm. remember your legs and your feet. If you need to blow your nose or your eyes are watering, you're doing it right. Your autonomic nervous system is responding. And if you're sitting, take some time to get in touch with your pelvic floor and your sit bones. I'm going to mute you for a second so I can blow my nose. And remember that part of stretching is also twisting. We tend to live in a very sort of straight kind of society. So twisting is often undervalued. Twisting arms, twisting your torso, turning your neck, turning your legs. They can turn in the hip joints, making circles with your feet. Twisting your hands and arms in and out. You may also notice that a part of you would like to be rubbed. So if it's your arms, you can rub it with your hands, and you can do that with your legs or your feet as well. Rub your back against a wall or against the back of your seat. And if it feels good to keep on stretching and moving, please do that. And you may also find yourself falling into a rhythm. There might be a specific rhythm in your body that it likes to rock. Or your body might be coming to stillness. Oh. And take a moment to notice what your feet want to do right now. Are your feet comfortable? Depending on how you're sitting, you might be feeling your feet against the floor, or they might be folded up under you, or they may be stretched out. Either way, take a bit of time to feel your feet and let your feet feel whatever surface is closest. Let them feel each other too. Take a moment now just to notice the rhythm of your breathing and your feet at the same time. See if you can explore the sense of breathing in your feet. There is an actual wave of activity changes that happens in our feet every time we breathe, and in the rest of our body, but right now we're with our feet. So we've got more than 100 pairs of feet here in this group today. And in that way, they're all the same. Each of them has, each pair, each foot has a breathing rhythm. So taking a moment to feel your own feet. And that delicate change that you can notice, nobody else can notice it. If it's too hard to feel in your feet, just notice it in your chest and belly, where it's easier, and then feel your feet at the same time. Just as every tree in a forest has its own breathing through its own leaves and its own water and nourishment flowing from the roots up. Each one of us has our own breath pattern, but all of us have a breath pattern. In that basic skill, in that basic gift of life, we're all the same. And take that awareness out, farther out, to the politicians of your country, to the government, people in the government that go to work and have opinions about what's the right thing to do. Each of them has 2 feet and a breathing rhythm, like a forest of people. Just like right now, we're a small forest of people. And back to your own breath again. See if you can drop deeper into the sensation of your breath wherever you feel it strongly. It may be many places. It could be one place, your chest or your belly. It could be in a lot of different places. But you can feel it in many, many areas that are singing along with each inhale and each exhale. Taking a moment to surrender to that feeling. Allow yourself to be breathed by life. Life doesn't make mistakes. It knows how to breathe you. It knows how to breathe each one of us in this little forest of people. And we can trust that, we can surrender to that. And allow ourselves to be lifted and expanded on in-breath. Allow ourselves to sink softly into this pull of the earth, this embrace of our planet on each out-breath. This embrace that we call gravity, that we call weight. It's the earth holding us. Each inhale opens, blooms in that holding. Each exhale surrenders, relaxes into it. from here. Let your awareness go to some of the beings. It could be people, it could be animals. Let's stay with people and animals for now. That you really care about and that you really feel cared about from, that they care about you. That feeling of mutual caring, mutual trust. And right now, just noticing or remembering the sense of their breathing. Could be a partner, it could be a pet you have, could be a child, could be a parent, could be a sibling, a friend. It's the sense of you breathe, they breathe, life breathes us, just as life breathes us here in this group at this moment. Just as life is swaying in the trees outside my window, life breathes us. Now, think of some of the people that you distrust and dislike. Do the same thing. See if you can remember if you've seen them on TV, for instance, or in real life, doesn't matter. But instead of focusing on what they're saying, take a moment to focus just on the fact that they breathe. Or rather, that they are breathed. That this blessing of life itself flows through them. Noticing your own breathing. It doesn't mean that you have to start trusting them. That's not what this is about. It doesn't mean you have to like them. That's not what this is about. It's just recognizing that we breathe. We are human. We breathe. We are breathed. Life breathes us. We feel trust. We feel distrust. We have opinions. We have minds, we have opinions. Notice one of your own opinions, one that you feel good about. Just a thought. See if you can identify a thought and let your breathing be with that. Let your breathing listen to the life energy inside that thought. And do the same thing with one of the people that, or one of the animals that you care about. We know less about what animals think, but some of it is pretty clear. I want to go for a walk. I want to eat that bird. That was my food, whatever it is. people, it's more complex. Taking the time to notice, to let your breathing be with the sense of the thought of the other and your trusting relationship. And finally, we go to the people that we distrust. Could be a type of people. Media, for instance, was some of what you wrote in some of your notes this morning. It could be specific politicians. Whatever, take one of the thoughts that you know that they have or that you've heard them express, but that you think they have. And recognize again your own sense of breath listening. To the life energy inside that thought. Allowing any feelings that come up, letting your own breath and your own feelings and your own thoughts and the thoughts of the other, the out-group, giving them space. Expanding our capacity for awareness. And in that sense of breath, in that sense of touching into this dislike, distrust, other, and also the loved, trusted other. Bring those two together. Sense of the thought, the breath of the ones that we do not trust, that we do not like, that we disagree with. And also the ones that we care about, that we feel cared for by, that we trust. Noticing or remembering that we are all breathing, that we are all breathed by life, that we all have thoughts, that we all have feelings. I'm reminded of in the Gospel of Thomas, which consists of sayings of Jesus Christ. There's a very short one. It goes like this. Be people passing by. Be the people who are passing by. Be passers-by. None of us can do it all the time. But we can all do it sometimes. It starts in the simple knowing that life breathes me and my and life breathes the other. So finally, take a moment to notice two qualities of your heart. One that we often talk about is compassion or gratitude. So compassion with pain and distrust and anger or forms of pain. Our own and others. So taking a moment to feel the compassion that exists in the heart and in our breath for this pain that we all humans share. We all distrust. We all get angry. And from here, we can ask for help and ask our sense of spirit or God or of a lineage or of life, of nature, wherever we feel that vast force that we are all a part of that lives in each of our breaths. Inviting a blessing. Noticing that in that blessing is a huge spaciousness. There's an enormous spaciousness, which is an essential part of our heart quality as well. So much space. Heart is a doorway to inner space. Space enough for a vastness to hold all the yelling, all the anger, all the sadness, all the fear. Softly. Knowing, feeling right now that that space exists through and inside and around all those that we trust, all those that we distrust. Finally, here as we move into the opening phases of this corona period, that we can ask for this spaciousness to help us see clearly and warmly and to do what needs to be done from a space of heartfulness and clarity rather than fear and anger. Giving that that be our action in the world. And it's time to start moving out of this meditation, stretching. Be people passing by. I think it's Logon 47. I can't quite remember. And allowing, as you come out of this meditation, allowing this space to stand open inside of yourself so that you can touch it more easily. Remember it, touch it with your inner senses during the day.